Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles celebration. I hope that you have come ready to worship God and ready to enjoy this time together, the fellowship, the sharing of God's word, the singing of praises, worship, opening our hearts and our lives to God to see the great things that he has done. Let's begin this message today, turning to the book of Deuteronomy. And as we do that, I just want to give thanks right from the beginning to God. So let's do that together. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the time to be here. We thank you so much for this place to meet, for the provisions that you have given to us that we can. And we come here and just ask for your name to be on this place and in this message and in our hearts, God, that we would worship you and put you as first always to the glory and honor of your son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. So in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. When you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast." What a command, you know. It's like, may we obey God's commands, all of his commands, that easily, right? Come rejoice. Be happy. Be glad. Have a good time. Come and rejoice, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widows who are within your gates. Basically, you and those who you know. Those who you have responsibility for, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. Isn't that cool? He will bless you. Notice that again. The Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. So he's saying, I'm commanding you to rejoice, but I'm going to make sure that you can rejoice. I want you to come rejoicing. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So in other words, God says, I want you to come rejoicing. You're going to do this when you've gathered in the blessing. I'm going to bless you in the work that you do so you can rejoice. And I want you to take the blessing that I gave you to rejoice and share it with somebody else so that you can come here to the feast and have this wonderful experience with others and with God. Now, who can tell me what I have in my left hand here? Somebody said seeds. That's correct. You can see that from there? I can barely see it. I'm standing right here. Okay, and then who can tell me what's in my right hand? Nothing. You guys are smart. You're on to me already. There's nothing. Now, can you really see the difference? From where you're sitting, can you see the difference? No. But in this hand is the promise of literally thousands of tomatoes. Literally thousands of tomatoes sit in my left hand at this moment. The promise of abundance. And in this hand sits a little remnant of soap when I just washed my hands in the bathroom. So there's not a lot going on in that hand. But in this hand, from our perspective, when we look, and I can even look at my hands here, not much difference. Not much difference. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. If I hold this up, can you see that better? No. Are you sure there's something actually there? I assure you there is. In this little thing that you can't see, that I'm barely holding on to because it's so tiny, is the promise that if this is put in the right soil at the right time and given the right nutrients, water, and sunlight, this little seed has in it all the information when put in those circumstances, and that promise to bring forth hundreds of pieces of fruit. This is a heirloom chocolate cherry tomato. It produces, usually conservatively, a couple hundred, but it can produce many hundred cherry tomatoes from one seed. And in every piece of fruit, there's approximately 75 to 80 seeds in this particular kind of fruit, which means that right here I'm holding in my hand not just hundreds of pieces of fruit, but I'm holding tens of thousands of seeds that can produce, well, you get the point. The power of multiplication of a promise. The power of something that is a seed. Now, we don't grow up in agrarian societies where we're seeing this process. But it said in the beginning that we read here in Deuteronomy 16:13, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. Here's the thing. Do any of us physically make these seeds? Ultimately, all seed comes from something that God made. Do we make the ground? We might make it ready, but the dirt, the soil that this goes into, that was God made too, wasn't it? The water that needs to be there, to be present, to germinate the seed in the soil. Did we make the water? No. What about the sunlight that makes it all work, that makes the tomato plant grow and flourish? Isn't it all because of God making a sun and putting it where he did, and a moon to reflect light and put it where he did, and soil that he gave us and seeds that he gave us so we could understand the concept of putting something in the ground. And from this thing you can't see will come all this fruit of promise. Friends, we can come to celebrate because what we are really doing is watching the miracles of God take place, and we see what he does, and he just asks us to believe, to put it in, to nurture it, to go harvest it when it grows up, to share it with other people, to let the promise go forth. See, that is where real joy comes from, because when you're a farmer and you're planting seed in the ground and you know you've got one chance to get it right, when you have one chance to bring forth the harvest, that you know that you've got to put it in at the right time in the spring, that you're hoping that in the fall it comes forth, and you know if you miss it, you've got to wait all that next year. You've got to wait. You know how much that means then, the effort, the time that you take to place it in, and you're hoping that, yes, that seed will germinate. Yes, the plant will grow. Yes, it will bring forth leaves, and it'll start to bring forth fruit, and that you can eat of it. All the hope that goes into it, when you think about what it is to live in a society where you're growing and planting, your partner, like it or not, is Almighty God. It teaches us every moment how important God is. God, you gave me the seed. God, you gave me the soil. God, you gave me the light. God, you gave me the rain. God, I need you. I need you. And really what is happening in the process of growing and planting and harvesting is we are participating in a very small way in the miraculous. This is amazing to me. Is it amazing to you that this little thing, you can't even see it, has the power when planted and the promise to bring forth abundance? It doesn't take much from God to bring forth abundance. But here's the thing. If these seeds don't get planted, if I don't believe or I don't take the time to put them in the ground, well, then what will I have to share? What abundance will I see? See, God promised us that he would send a seed. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Turn with me over to Matthew. Notice this in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 tells of the time when Jesus would come to tabernacle among us, when the seed would be basically given that would end up bringing abundance to every one of us. You realize that the great miracles that we witness in our lives that are shown in something so simple as some tomato seeds and some wheat seeds and some plants that come forth from the ground, that God is demonstrating the power to do the miraculous. I'm amazed every time I look at rows of seeds, and in my work, I get to see all kinds of produce from all over the world. It's amazing that you can take something that's brown and put it into something that's brown, and there comes purple and yellow and reds and all these different. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? I mean, how is it that it knows? How is it that it does what it's supposed to do? How is it that all that information's in that little seed? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's amazing. And I get to play with God making miracles by putting it in and giving it some water and giving it a little care. and having some belief that that seed of promise will do what it's supposed to do. And it's amazing that when I know the truth about that promise, that I can plant a tomato seed, and lo and behold, tomato plants spring up and tomatoes are there. And right next to it, I can take a seed. It kind of looks similar. The pepper seed, they're small, they're tiny, they're shaped the same. And I can plant it and up will come bell peppers. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's awesome. How did it know? How did it know? And so the fascination of the partnership that you and I have with God, of the seed of promise and of the seed of promise. Matthew chapter 2. Notice here, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now that's interesting, isn't it? So here come these men into this country where they're not from, having seen a star, having heard a promise. And they're out to seek the promise of the king, to come and worship the king. So it says that when Herod the king heard about this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." Now, as we know, that wasn't his real intent, was it? He wasn't thinking of this as a good thing. But here were those who believed in a promise in search of the good thing, the good seed. So when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. They rejoiced. They were so excited about what they were coming to see, about who was promised to come, and the reality of the miraculous taking place. God with us, Emmanuel, the promised seed. So it says they rejoiced and with exceedingly great joy. They were so happy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Now, put yourself in this. You know, we know this story, but put yourself into the reality of seeing these wise men traveling from afar, having wealth, having prominence, coming into the house to worship a baby. To worship a baby. See, what they understood and what they saw and what they believed and what they now worshiped was based on a promise and based on a seed that would come. And because of the promise and coming to see the fulfillment of a promise, they were so happy. And they brought gifts to worship. You see, that in essence is what this Feast of Tabernacles is really all about. There is such an excitement in the realization of the coming of the King. There is such an excitement in the realization of the promise through Jesus Christ. The promise that we have known when we accepted by faith and believed in Jesus as our Savior, when we made Him King and said, "You are Lord. You are my Savior. You are my God." And what have we seen in our lives as we have submitted to Him? Have we not seen the miraculous? Have we not seen the wonderful? I look around this room and I know so many stories and so many testimonies. When we have believed in the promised seed, has He not done amazing things in us? You see, the reality of our lives is there are so many things in this world that can get us down. How many of you feel just a little stressed right now from the travel coming in? There's just one, two, three, four, five. Oh, wow, okay. See, I give you time, and there go the hands. You feel a little stressed, right? There's a lot of things going on. I know some of you woke up, and you're like, where's the toothpaste, right? And you're like, hello. You know, you're like greeting people like this because you don't want them to get that effervescent smell that's coming out because you didn't pack toothpaste, and now we pay a price unless you find some breath mints. So the reality is you come and you have all these details. There's all this vanity of life and there's all these things. And you know what? Even without the vanities, well, there's a lot of serious problems, aren't there? There's problems in our families. There's problems with health. There's problems with finances. There's problems with things, real problems, problems that can affect things in life. And maybe you just read the morning newspaper. And you look at the things that are going on in Europe right now and you're realizing the problem that we're having with refugees in this world and people that are being tossed out of war-torn countries and fleeing for their lives. And what do you do and how do you solve such systemic problems that we have? And you can look at all these things. And yet when we look to God, what do these things look like to God? They're smaller than the seeds I held in my hand. Because it all pales in comparison. The tribulations, the trials, the problems, what can they compare to the glory that shall be seen and revealed in God Almighty? The reality of life, of realizing that there is a big God that we worship and that we serve, who will bring an end to the things of misery and tribulation and problems, because at the very point where we might be looking at the cursing and maybe the weeds that come up to choke out the seeds that grow and maybe the devourers that come to take it away, we know that we have a God who at the very point of cursing in life brought blessing in the flesh, a new seed of promise that if we would believe in Him, we would know Him and see Him and He would do the miraculous. And just like we can plant a seed, when Christ is in our lives, what we really do is we get to go along for a ride on the miraculous. That's what brings about rejoicing in your life. The appreciation of who God is and the appreciation of what He's doing, of what He has done, of what He's doing today, and what He is yet to do. And suddenly we are filled with such amazing hope. We are filled with such life. We are filled because His promises are sure. And we know that in Jesus, all His promises are yes and amen. Not yes and no. Not maybe. Not could happen. It's going to happen. In our lives, friends, we have this hope that comes from Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to the book of Zechariah. As we at Rock Valley have been going through these feast days, we have been looking at this verse in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16, because this verse is such a great theme for these feasts that we celebrate. And it says in Zechariah 14, 16, "So it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So here we see these wise men coming from the east, from a foreign land. They're coming in to find the King of the Jews so that they can, what? Worship Him. That they can rejoice before Him and offer gifts to Him. Because He is worthy of that. He is worthy of that. Those who see that understand. Now it says here that it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations. We talked about that at the Feast of Trumpets, that there's not going to be everyone left. It's just those who are left. Because there is warfare and there is that element that stands against the liberty that we find in Christ. That don't know the power and the beauty that is in Jesus Christ. The freedom that we have in Him to live life. But what is so beautiful about those who are left is that here the nations came against the Lord Jesus. Notice it says this in verse 3, Zechariah 14, 3. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle." So here He is fighting. But these very nations that came against, those that are left are not going to be coming against. They're going to come to worship the king. A complete transformation in heart and in mind. Now, you and I, in our lives, were found in this very way, with hearts resistant, with hearts not given to God, with hearts that went against, that have gone astray. Friends, as you are here at this feast, you are called to open up your heart to allow the King of Glory to come in and change everything. See, what allows us to come to this feast and celebrate is we've had the grand opportunity over this last year to watch the miraculous, to see and behold the glory of God, to know who He is, to allow His divine presence to come into our lives and to bless us in a way that we can come here and rejoice. Can you think about what the Lord has done for you this year? Does it bring about a heart that you want to worship, that you want to celebrate? I got something here. Scott Sharpen, where are you? If you were here last year and you saw me throw candy, I almost took out the eyes of two people. So they said something softer. But on my birthday, Scotty, oh, good catch. You may open it, sir. So this is something that we can look at. Oh, yeah. This is a reminder. Hey, Dusty White, show these off. So here's the thing. This verse is so important that this is a shirt to remember the scripture. So beautifully put together by Allison Gregorio. Scott and I talked about this, and we wanted to have a shirt that was something that was of this feast and of this scripture. The Feast of Tabernacles with Zechariah 14:16 on it. And at the bottom, the verse from Acts that says, I must by all means celebrate this coming feast. This is John Vonderhaar's. I pulled this out specifically for him because John knows I give him something every feast. John was brave enough to stand up with me at my wedding. And Garrett Reed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Warming up now. And Brad Lucenhide. He doesn't get his shirt then. That's the way it works. You got to be present. Who wears medium? Men's medium. You do? Right there. Stephanie, duck. Oh, nice. Okay. All right. So these are shirts for you. If you like the shirt, you can get one for free for asking Brenda at the information table that you love, because it gives a shirt for asking. So you can go get a shirt for yourself. But to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to have something to come with, to worship the King. How enthused are you about what God has done in your life? Yes? This section was really good. I didn't hear so much. Thank you. All right. Nice. Nice. You guys? Oh. Yes. Yes. Thank you, young man. That was beautiful. That's the way we should feel about our lives when we see the truth, isn't it? Because what is life about? Is it not that we're here on purpose by God? Is it not that our life is from Him? Is it not that everything that we have going on is a gift from God? And that the hope and assurance and promise that we have is in a King coming and returning? That there is life, and it won't just be for us, but it will be for every member of society that wants it. For every member that wants to come forth to receive of the promise of Jesus Christ. See, that's what makes it so awesome, because we can be happy about our own salvation, but when we know how happy we are about our salvation, what about the salvation that comes to sinners when they come to Jesus Christ and they're freed and they're redeemed and they're made holy and accepted in the beloved, when we can see people go from a place of sin to salvation? You see, the reality of Jesus Christ in the life should be bringing about all these opportunities to what? Watch the miracles happen. Watch the miracles happen. To see the miracles that we see, to come forth with rejoicing before God. So notice what it says here in Zechariah chapter 14. In Zechariah 14, halfway through 5, let's start there. Thus the Lord my God will come and all his saints with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen it will be light. How exciting is that? And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. How bad do you want that? See, when we think about the issues, we think about the issues of warfare and people being displaced from their homes and run out of their lives because of oppression. We think about abortion and murder. We think about all the oppression that happens in this world. When Jesus Christ is king over the earth, he's putting an end to all of that. He's putting a stop to the things that create the pain and the hurt in people's lives. And he's bringing about life. And it says that in that day, the Lord is one and his name is one. He's first. He is primary. He is it in everything. There will be a time coming when the knowledge of the Lord will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. Everywhere we go, we will know of the Lord. And there will be a time of rejoicing. So it says here back again in chapter 14, verse 16. So it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I give you a purpose here in this verse. That you and I are here for 8 days to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. If you had any other agenda, I ask you, let it be subservient to the first agenda. The agenda is to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says in verse 17, it shall be that whatever the families of the earth that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, on them there shall be no rain. How dependent are we on God? That changes your whole world around, doesn't it? See, God has an amazing way that the blessings flow from him. But he says, if you don't want to come and know where blessing flows from, no blessing. How far do you get with that seed if you have no rain? How far do you get when you don't have the blessing of God coming down to water it so that it can grow forth? You see, that seed to produce fruit has to have rain. No rain, no blessing. What do you share? In our lives, the awesome power of God is to engage with him in the miraculous work that he is doing, that we may see it in our lives and the lives of others that we can bring it to, and know the promise and blessing that we may give to someone else. And friends, is there anything that produces satisfaction like knowing the will of God, doing it, seeing his blessing on it, and people prospering from it? That's the best. That's the best. That's what the hope is in this whole world, that these living waters that flow from Jesus Christ would flow out in us and produce fruit that people can partake of. And here we are to celebrate all this work. Everything that he is doing in our lives, everything that he wants us to know and become, to worship the King at this Feast of Tabernacles. Turn with me over to Psalms chapter 95. Let these verses be verses that will be our feast. How is it that we can rejoice? We can rejoice because we look at God, because we worship the King, the Lord of hosts, that we come to give him glory for who he is and what he does. And that rejoicing comes by seeing him. Friends, it is the key to life. It is the key to this feast, but it's the key to life, that the more we look at and appreciate who God is, the more the joy remains in us, even through trials. You know, it's an amazing thing to see my sister, as you know, she's gone through cancer. She's been battling it for 4 years. And over 2 years ago, she was told she had 3 to 6 months left to live. Probably well over a year ago, they told her she had about 3 weeks left to live. Even recently, she was told it could be a couple days, it could be a few weeks, is what the doctor had said when he came to visit. She keeps living. And the drugs they had given her to help the pain, the morphine, she's off the morphine. You know, they had put on a plan, and God is having a different plan. Now, I don't know all the things that are purposed in what has happened in her life. But I know a lot of you already know about this. I know a lot of you have visited her. I know a lot of you have prayed for her. I know that her witness is on display because through the messages that were given with logic and with reason of man, they've been confounded by what God decided to do despite what anybody else said. And the reality is that what I see in her and what we share in rejoicing is in how through the message of death, God has brought forth beautiful life. In peace, in rejoicing, in praising, in wanting to hear God's word read, in having a life in the face of death. So one of the most interesting things about the seeds that we talk about is unless they're put into the ground and die, they don't raise up with the glorious body that they're intended to have. In all of the trials and the tribulations and the hurts that we go through, God is wanting to see, will you now be ready to receive something to grow even greater than before? She always had a heart of love. Since the moment I knew my sister, she always had a heart of love. So tender, so caring. But just to watch the maturity and to watch her in the face of hard circumstances and decrees of, well, I would just say doubt, to see life through it. She sets an example, and we all can be the ones rejoicing in the miracles of God that we see in her life and in the lives of those around her because of what's happening. When we really see God at this feast, there is a mission to worship God. At this feast, there is a heart that should be coming out of all of us to say, this is why I'm here. I am here to worship Almighty God. I'm here to give Him glory. I'm here to give Him honor. In everything that I do, I see how good You are, God, and I will praise You with all my heart. I will praise You. I will sing to You. I will worship You. And when I get up in the morning, I will worship You. And when I go throughout my day, I will worship You. And as I'm going around with my friends, I will worship You. And I will praise You. And I will look to You. And I will bow down before You because You're God. And the whole reason all of us are here is because we have this Maker who is known as the Lord of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who has said, know Me. And we're here to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm here to know You. If we come away from this feast having just looked at Him and just given Him the honor and the glory that He is so deserving of, I assure you we'll be changed when we leave. We have an opportunity here to walk away from the life that is day to day to us, to come to a place for 8 days and give Him glory. So let's lay it down and give Him glory, that it be our joy to say, Your will, Your way. Psalm 95, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. So Psalm 95, 1, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. This is what God's calling us to. Are you of a heart desirous to worship God? See, right now, that's the question. Right now, we can't leave this sermon. I need to know, are you of a heart to worship God? Yes. Beautiful. Because that is the heart that's ready to rejoice. The heart that's willing to give God thanks. The heart that's willing to give God praise. And frankly, all the other things of life, all the muck and the mire and the things that come out, is because the heart's not willing. Because the heart's not ready, as he says here as the chapter goes on. But notice now, Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Friends, I'm going to challenge you with something else while you're here. That for 8 days, proclaim the good news of his salvation to someone else that is here. I'm not talking about something that you've learned. I'm not talking about a truth you've understood. I'm not talking about a doctrinal argument coming into this place. I'm asking you to talk about him. See, there's a difference between what we know and understand from a word of knowledge. Those are good. We have to have that. But I'm challenging you at this time to talk about him. What has he done for you? What is the work that Jesus Christ has done in your life as your king, and that you would proclaim it from day to day? So that requires you to think. That requires you to meditate. That requires you to come and just look at the king. What has God done for you? Let us talk about that. It says, verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. Who here has a testimony they could share while you're here at the feast? Who can, just right now, you know, raise your hands high if there's anything. Okay. All right. So look, there's more thinking that needs to be done. Because I assure you, for those that didn't raise your hands, that it has been happening. Sometimes it's not in the way you think it's happening. Sometimes it's in a way of chastening, as opposed to a way of the miraculous deliverance. Probably the best offering I can say in testimony is that as we have gone from trumpets and atonement and thinking about life and the judgment, a revelation of chastening to me has me rejoicing. I needed chastening, and he was faithful to give it so that I can repent, that I can be cleansed, and now I come with happiness before him. Because the things that can sometimes crowd out our life and our time before God all need to be cast down. That's what God does in his wonderful work. He casts down the things that get in the way of our relationship with him so that we can have this time. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. When we see God at this feast, we rejoice in the miraculous things that he has done. If you have something to share, I ask you to share it. I ask you to tell of it, that it may be of encouragement, that it may be of help, that it may be of inspiration to others. Let's finish here in Psalm chapter 47. Psalm 47, verse 1 says this, O clap your hands, all you people. Is that of the heart? Woo! To the Lord God, clap your hands. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Woo! Yeah! The Lord reigns. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us. Isn't that awesome? And the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Knowing who he is, knowing what he's done for you, knowing that you are holy and accepted in the beloved, knowing that there is no greater righteousness than the righteousness that is applied to you by faith in Christ that gives you a standing before him, knowing that he who stands and intercedes for you always is looking to make you perfect, always to bring you to the measure of the stature of the fullness that we see in him, that we would live and reign with him, that a kingdom would be delivered to the saints, and the saints and Christ would bring about peace and holiness to our God forever and ever and ever. And there will be no change in that. For when his work is done in bringing about holiness and peace, it will stand forever and all time. And friends, this hope that we have is why we come to worship the King, because he's doing a miracle and we're along for the ride. Woo! He's an awesome God that deserves our worship and our praise. And we have one thing to do. What is it that we're here to do? Worship the King, right? The Lord of hosts, and to keep this Feast of Tabernacles. So we don't just worship because of an emotion. We worship because we have understanding, verse 7. And that creates all the emotion that comes into this. Because, friends, you and I have a God. Can we even put into words what he has done for us? Can we even put into words who he is? Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Let it so be said in this place, at this feast, that here we came to worship a king, and here he was highly exalted because of who he is. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty. I wish you a wonderful feast, and I wish you a joyous time of remembering the goodness of God Almighty.